Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, this is How to Behave on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Every week we deal head-on with the most vexing etiquette and behavior questions that we all face in 21st century America. In other words, we talk about how poorly behaved everybody is and how the world would be a better place if they would just act like I think they should. I'm your host, Brian Kaiser. I'm joined by this week's behavior analysis team. Former server and restaurant manager, current writer and food blogger in the research arm of How to Behave, Hannah Howard. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Brian.
Also former server, current fashion designer, and self-proclaimed cultural critic, Marie Pastamelo.
Hi, Brian.
How are you, Marie? And actor, comedian, salesman, and theater company manager, Rob Neal.
Hey, Brian. What's going on?
How are you, Rob?
I'm great, thanks.
Welcome to all of you. So this week we invited, as always, our listeners to post questions on our Facebook page. And this week a restaurant manager asked how to handle a guest who was complaining about another guest who was breastfeeding at the table. And this question caused so many comments and such a spirited debate on the Facebook page that we decided to devote the show this week to breastfeeding in public. Then Seth MacFarlane, bless his heart, sang "We Saw Your Boobs" on the Oscar telecast. So today is going to be the boob show.
Boobs in public.
Boobs in public.
Or on film.
Did you guys all see We Saw Your Boobs?
Yeah.
And
most of those movies he referred to I've seen.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. What did you guys think of that? Was it offensive? Was it just entertaining? Are people who are bothered by it uptight? Marie?
I thought it was hilarious. I didn't find any offense to it. I thought it was lighthearted, and I'm a mom, and I have a 2-year-old and another one on the way, and I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah, Hannah?
Yeah, he was on, the Oscars were on in the background, and then they became the foreground quickly, and I like boob talk.
Nothing like boobs to get attention.
Huh? Boobs get attention.
Rob?
I enjoy what Seth MacFarlane does. I mean, he pushes the envelope. I don't know. I mean, the controversy, he's singing about seeing celebrities' breasts, and which movies those were are not necessarily breasts for just entertainment. It's for a purpose sometimes, and I don't know. I think he might have gone too far, personally. But I'm not a mom.
Yeah.
So...
like, do you think it went too far when he talked about like the movies where it was rape scenes?
I think that's probably
stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's awkward to sexualize that scene in The Accused.
As a man, I'm thinking it probably is a good thing to say. Yes, that's wrong.
It's a safe way to go.
Yeah, I mean, you can totally go, hey, let's just bust it out and see everybody's breast, no matter what's happening. But
yeah. All right. Well, moving on to more serious subject matter. Breastfeeding in public is legal in the U.S. and most other countries. 49 states have passed laws that specifically protect a mother's right to breastfeed in public. Yet last summer, more than 600 moms and babies gathered on the West Lawn in Washington, D.C. to participate in the Great Nurse-In, an event planned to demystify breastfeeding and make it as commonplace as bottle feeding to a passerby. So why is this necessary? Shouldn't it already be demystified? Does it have something to do with the fact that we live in a culture where the host of the Academy Awards can perform "We Saw Your Boobs"? Are we a nation filled with adults that have the emotional maturity of Beavis and Butthead? It's not just boys and men who are made uncomfortable by the sight of a woman breastfeeding. In June of 2010, the deputy editor of a leading UK parenting magazine, Mother and Baby, described breasts thusly. Quote, "They're part of my sexuality too, not just breasts, but fun bags. And when you have that attitude, seeing your teeny tiny innocent baby latching on where only a lover has been before feels, well, a little creepy." This is a comment by a woman. So to discuss the issue today, we have with us from San Francisco, California, Joan Miller, a very outspoken proponent of breastfeeding and the mother of a teeny tiny innocent baby. Hi, Joan.
Hello, Brian.
Good to have you with us. And to address breastfeeding from an etiquette and decorum point of view, from Denver, Colorado, we have Anthonette Klinkerman, also known as Colonel Klinkerman of the Courtesy Boot Camp. Hi, Anthonette.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. Or do you prefer to be referred to as Colonel?
You can address me as such. I will be fine with that.
Okay. Welcome, Colonel.
Thank you.
So I want to start with you, Joan. You had some pretty strong words when you posted on our Facebook page in response to the question about the woman breastfeeding in a restaurant. Can you tell us what your feelings are about that situation?
You know, I feel us new moms who are learning how to be moms for the first time and learning how to breastfeed, which I was shocked to find out is a much more difficult thing to do than I had ever imagined for most moms. I think we have enough on our plates without being scorned or being, you know, treated as outlaws out in public. And I did often, you know, feel like an outlaw. I had to go often to nurse my innocent little child in a public bathroom stall, sitting on a toilet with disgusting stuff all around me, just so that I wouldn't be scorned and looked at weirdly and awkwardly in a restaurant.
Did people actually approach you? Did people ask you to stop or cover yourself or anything like that?
You know, personally, no one ever did come up to me and ask me to stop. For me, it was enough just to have people stare at me or look at me with an annoyed glance. That was enough to cause me to take preventative actions. But, you know, most of the time I just had, a nursing shawl, a cover-up, that I whipped out at the table, and I stayed right where I was seated and continued my conversation and did it that way. I'm not one of those moms who whips out a boob for all to see and as if I'm confronting the public with breastfeeding. I'm just not that mom. Yeah. I did use a cover-up, but still, even with a cover-up, it's very awkward, and, you know, you've got a writhing baby on your hands that, you know, pushing everything aside, and you're constantly shifting, trying to keep her under there. And it's hard enough. It's really, really hard on us moms, and I think people need to lighten up.
And did you find that you received looks of scorn and judgment from mostly men, or both men and women?
Both men and women.
Yeah.
I felt very much as if I was somehow destroying their precious moments.
Yeah.
Table having lunch or dinner, and you know it's hard enough just trying to keep your children or your babies quiet, which is another thing that will cause many people to look at you with scorn in a restaurant. And I very much, you know, got to the point where I chose, you know, which restaurants I frequented based on the kinds of people who would be eating there.
What did that generally mean? Was that like more casual and less fine dining, or
yes? Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
And is
basically cut out all fine dining for the first 2 years of my child's life.
And is that an issue of just bringing the baby into the situation, not even one of breastfeeding? Like there are restaurants
it's
where it's not appropriate
it's
to have an infant.
It's the noise factor, and then definitely the cherry on top is the breastfeeding. So it's both of those things.
Now, Marie, you also are the mother of a young child. Did you have any experiences in public with people directly addressing you?
You know, I really didn't. And
what about funny looks?
No, not really. But I think that I've always taken a really conservative approach to breastfeeding. And for me, I just think it's always been to be really aware and as discreet as possible. So like Joan just said, you know, always wore a nursing shawl, stayed in my seat, and you know, kept as low profile as possible. And I never had a problem. And so I think it's being aware of your environment is very important. And so I always just felt I do have a stronger opinion about definitely breastfeeding or even bringing your child into an establishment who's trying to set a mood of relaxation, luxury, romance. I think that's, right. for me, I think that children don't belong in yeah. that environment. And that's where I think...
That couple at the next table trying to celebrate their anniversary is going to be affected right, by the baby, right. whether it's crying or fidgeting or...
Exactly. Whatever. Right. And honestly, whether their child's behaving or not behaving, I still, mm-hmm. they kind of kill the buzz a little bit.
Yeah. Now, Colonel Klinkerman, in addition to being a courtesy expert, you're also the mother of two. Is that correct?
No, actually, I only have one child.
Oh, you only have one. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you, I imagine, have personal experience with this?
Experiencing the breastfeeding part, actually not so much, because I will admit that I was one of those women who was not able to do it.
Okay.
But I understand it being a natural function, too, and I appreciate the moms who have taken measures to cover up when they are out in public as well, because it is a distraction, plain and simple. It's yeah. not a social norm. And that's what causes people to look, is because you just don't see that every day. And you don't see people, you know, doing other bodily functions that are natural out in public either,
right.
because it's not a social norm. So yeah. people aren't used to that. And when they're out to dinner, quite honestly, they are distracted. And I like what Marie had to say about that, is that, you know, they're sitting there, they've paid their good money to enjoy their meal. They shouldn't be distracted. And I'm sure the chef appreciates it when people are concentrating on his food and not worrying about what's going on in other parts of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems, though, that if you're in New York City, that you are exposed to people with their bodily functions a little bit more than maybe outside of New York City.
in Denver, it's too cold.
Denver, right? You're protected. Yeah. it seems like certainly the question of legality is settled. I think for that restaurant manager who asked the question, how do I handle this problem, that you don't approach the mother who's breastfeeding, no matter what. But I think we can all agree that that this question of decorum and when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate is there. I mean, breastfeeding mothers need to be considerate of those around them, even though the law protects them from having to be considerate.
Well, it seems that even in New York, the norm, when you look at 40 places to breastfeed your baby in New York City, none of them are fine dining establishments. They're like Babies R Us
yeah.
and West Elm and places that have comfy couches and places to go, rather than when you're having a 5-course meal and people next door are on a romantic date or whatever. It seems
so. Colonel, do you think there are certain lines that breastfeeding mothers can use as guides to what's appropriate and what's not, or is it just use your judgment in every situation?
I would hope that they would use their judgment in every situation, but I also approach my business as America has lost a good, healthy dose of what would the neighbors think, really? And I think having that kind of scolding of, yes, I really don't want people thinking poorly of me, would drive most moms into the restroom to breastfeed, as I know Joan mentioned before. And a finer dining establishment, of course, would have a nice place for a new mom to sit, I would hope. But there's always the car. You can go out to your car as well. I would think that the mom would say, I'm sorry, this is bothering you, to somebody else who would dare to approach them. But I find that most of the public won't do that. They'll just cast the sideways glances and the, you know, possibly dirty looks, too. But they are not brave enough to approach the mother, because they know they have the right to do that. It's just not normal for them to see that.
You say they're not brave enough to approach them. Do you think they should in any circumstances?
It's not if it's legal in all of these states. That was kind of news to me. I had no idea that it was proclaimed legal in so many areas. So if that's the case, then the mother, of course, can say, you do realize it's legal in this state, and they can pass on that lesson to somebody else.
Now, Joan, in San Francisco, what do you think about Antoinette's suggestion that sometimes you can go out to your car or go find another place that's more convenient? Is that inconveniencing the mother too much?
I certainly did do that myself from time to time. Let me tell you, nursing in a car is a bit of a nightmare. Because, of course, you can't sit in the front seat, because then you have three windows that people can see through. So you have to, you know, put your keys in the ignition so you have power to the windows, and then you have to climb in the back seat. And then you've got to take a sweater or a blanket and roll down the window and stuff it up there and close the window as quick as you can so that one side is now shielded from the public eye. And then you've got your baby's head smashed into the car seat, which is a hard plastic, and you can't breathe and you can't move. It's like horrible. It's really awkward, and again, it makes me feel like an outlaw.
You're making it sound like some other activities that people engage in cars because they can't do it in the restaurant.
Now that you mention it,
it's inconvenient. It's uncomfortable.
I don't know. I sort of feel that this is a little bit extreme. Making mothers have to do these things. You know, we're talking about fine dining establishments. Okay, what about the situation that I was in where I was celebrating my parents' anniversary with them and my sisters, and we are in a very fine restaurant. My baby was too young at that time to leave at home with a sitter, so of course she came with.
Did you pick an appropriate restaurant?
No, I went to the restaurant my parents chose.
Okay.
And certainly we're all going to be confronted with those kinds of situations as well, and it was a very fine restaurant in San Francisco. So, you know, you're not always going to have control over where you are. The one thing you can be assured of is that your baby needs to eat, no matter where you are.
All right. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break. Yeah. And when we get back, we will continue this conversation about breastfeeding. This is How to Behave on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You're listening to Home by Blind Benny, the Old Money Remix on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. We're committed to making wholesome, delicious, and sustainably produced heritage foods available to all Americans. In doing so, we will foster the link between sustainable land use, small-scale food production, and preservation of the foods of past generations for future generations. For more information and to order today, visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com.
Welcome back to How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Brian Kaiser. This is the boob episode. We are talking about breastfeeding and Seth MacFarlane hosting the Oscars peripherally. We have Joan Miller from San Francisco talking to us about her experiences breastfeeding and particularly in public, and Colonel Klinkerman of Courtesy Boot Camp giving us a view on the etiquette and decorum aspects of this topic. Welcome back. So during the break, Rob had a few choice comments to share with us about about what he thinks is the most important topic, which is that sometimes the baby blocks the view of the breast. Is that pretty much what you were saying, Rob?
Now you make me sound so bad.
Admittedly, Marie had a few things to say there, too.
Well, because it could become dinner theater, right?
Right.
Rob has also clearly never seen a postpartum boob, because it's not clearly a 20, 30-year-old boob. It's a different type of boob.
Don't even know what to say.
Not having had a baby myself, I called my mom in traffic on the way here and asked her about her breastfeeding experience and breastfeeding in public, because I knew we'd be discussing that. And she said that she envied the moms, my family is all amply breasted, so she envied the moms who could more suavely do a little breastfeeding, and she felt like she was too clumsy and her boobs were too much, and that it didn't work out quite so well as she planned. So there you go.
All right, Joan and Anthonette, do you want to add any off-color comments before we move back to the serious conversation?
I think I'll pass.
this is a pass. Okay. I want to talk a little bit more about babies in public in general, not just breastfeeding, because we've sort of touched on that. I think we all agree that there are some places where it's not appropriate to have a child. I think any time, like Marie was referring to, that the presence of the child is negatively affecting the experience of other people, especially in a situation where they've paid for something like live theater or fine dining.
Even a spa treatment. I mean, a spa is also a place where
Have you seen women bring babies to spas?
I have. You know, they're getting a quick manicure and pedicure because, you know, it's you know, something that they just do every week. It needs to get done. But there's other people that are going there to be pampered and take those, you know, that little bit of time. And so those types of places as well.
Yeah. Joan, how do you decide where to take Addie and where not to?
You know, I used to feel the same way until I had a child. I used to feel that, children don't belong in this place, that place, and the other place, because it's interrupting my experience. But then when you have a child, everything changes. One of my favorite pastimes with my husband, we literally sit here and dream up businesses we want to start that cater entirely to women with babies. Or you know, stay-at-home dads with babies.
Can you give away some of those ideas, or are they all protected?
Well, sure. It's basically everything we're talking about. Restaurants where you can eat actually good local organic foods and have a nice experience and feel pampered, but you're allowed to bring your babies and your little children who want to run around under tables and around tables and you know, setting up, having like nannies on site and having places where those children can play and be watched. And we've, you know, I mean, you can, the sky's the limit. I mean, it's like we could have mommy airlines.
Well, that brings up a topic I would
mommy
absolutely
movie
like
theaters.
To talk about.
But eventually you get to the point where you're like, wow, I mean, society just doesn't want us around, you know, with our young children.
I think even parents,
pisses me off.
Even parents don't like being on an airplane with a bunch of screaming or crying children, right?
Yeah, and there's not, let me tell you, I had to take a couple of flights with my baby, and I had no choice, and it is a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare trying to breastfeed an infant on a plane. There's three seats. You know, I didn't have all three seats. I had one. My husband had one. We had a stranger next to him. You've got to hold up a whole piece of cloth. You know, my husband had to hold something up to, like, block me off completely from the public eye. And
back to,
you know,
Rob's idea of dinner theater.
Yeah, right. Is it not legal in the air? It's only legal in the States on the ground?
What was that?
I'm just saying, is it not legal to be doing that in the air, or is it just for the privacy's sake?
Just for the privacy, I mean, it's a very, you're very close to that person in the third seat. And it's, you know, you just get to the point where you don't want people, and then there's people walking up and down the aisles, and they kind of glance, you know, left and right, especially going to glance at, you know, the woman with the baby that's been squirming and screaming. And you just start to feel like you're kind of on display. So my husband would, you know, hold something up so I could nurse her.
Which in its way draws more attention to the situation, not less.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And, anyways, we love these ideas of all these businesses that cater to women or to stay-at-home dads who have young children, but then we kind of start laughing at it after a point and think, what are we doing?
It sounds to me like some of those ideas are not necessarily ideas for new businesses, but ideas for current businesses to take advantage of. Like maybe a movie theater does a late afternoon screening that's an adult movie, but where it's encouraged to bring your infants or already.
You know,
like,
I think the point of this show this topic is at some point we really need to all as a society, you know, reevaluate our patients. You know, I mean, we need to be understanding. I mean, I think I should be able to go get a pedicure in any spa that I want to, and if I've got to bring my baby because I don't have the money to hire someone so that I can go get a pedicure to stay home with my child, then I should be able to do that. I just think we need to work on being a little more tolerant and understanding.
Yeah. Colonel, what are your thoughts on that? Should everybody just accept that sometimes they're going to go to the spa and there might be a child running around or a baby crying?
No, I would have to disagree, because I've experienced that where it was actually the owners of the spa obviously didn't have childcare for the day, and their kids were running wild all over the place, smashing crackers onto the floor. And the thing is that I think Joan forgets is that in order to guarantee the survival of our species, parents automatically have a higher tolerance for their own children, not other people's. Yeah. So
Marie's
that's
nodding.
Where
do you?
Yeah. I think the restaurant idea. I know people who will flat out admit, "Oh yeah, I go to IKEA all the time to take advantage of the child care so I can enjoy having meatballs upstairs." Mm-hmm.
But that seems to me that that's a really smart business that figures out a way to make it possible for parents to go without it disrupting other people's experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marie is looking at me like, "Yeah, I have my own kid, but other people's kids."
Exactly.
It's true. It's absolutely true. I feel like when I had a kid, I for me, thankfully, learned early on that no one thinks your child is as adorable and wonderful as you do. And I learned that early. And I also learned that when I decided to have children, that I wasn't going to be able to get a regular pedicure and manicure. And I kind of sacrificed that for now until I am at this point where they're either older and they're not disruptive, or I find someone to take care of them. But I've just come to that realization where there are things that I just won't be able to do now until my child is a little bit older.
I'd also like to say that IKEA is one of the top places recommended for breastfeeding your children. Just out of
Rob, you've done a lot of research into where women that, are breastfeeding. It's a little disturbing.
A third of babies in Europe are conceived on IKEA beds.
Wow.
Actually, in the store?
I have an IKEA bed.
I don't think in the store.
I'd also like to say, not that that coming to a late-night theater show called Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind makes sense, but we would actually welcome mothers to come and breastfeed in the back. I'm not sure if any mothers would want to do that, though.
But it's an improvisational comedy show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not exactly Broadway.
It gives you material. Yeah. That's what you're looking for, right? Yeah.
Well, there is that.
We'd also like handicapped people to come to the show. People
that are conservative that don't like liberal theater. Yeah. You know, we want to have a dialogue. With
anyone
people.
To make fun of.
Well, not make fun of, engage.
To have a dialogue. Yeah, I understand.
You know, I just would like to say that I haven't forgotten that nobody finds your child as charming and wonderful as you do, but I have to say that now, having a child, I am much more tolerant of other people's children than I ever was before I had my own child.
So. Yeah, I think there's a good point in there, which is that both sides need to be understanding of the other side. Those of us without children or in places where our children aren't with us need to understand that, you know, we can't guarantee world free of crying babies, and people with children need to understand that they're not little miracles in the eyes of everybody else. they're children, and they're important, but you know, we need to be conscious of how it affects how the presence of those children affects other people. Colonel Klinkerman, do you have any final words of advice for mothers or the people who are bothered by children before we go?
Oh, I would recommend that the tolerance is practiced to a degree, because it's just life. That's the way it's going to be for a lot of people that don't make arrangements to leave children in the care of somebody else. So to be a little bit more tolerant, because I know when I had a brand new baby on a plane too, I could not believe the conversation happening in the row in front of me, because I had that moment when the child is just inconsolable. And the lady in front of me just dared to say, "When I get home, I'm going to have my tubes tied." And I thought, well, I hope you do that, because obviously you're not parent material.
Agreed.
But it is, it's a tolerance thing to a degree, I think, because here in America and in the great spirit of everything American, parenting does turn into a competition. And even in places where you are surrounded by children and you know that's the way it's going to be, you automatically, as a human, say to yourself, "I'm so glad my child doesn't act that way."
Yes, well said. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much to all my guests today, Joan Miller in San Francisco. Thank you for all your input, and
thank you.
Good luck with the future raising of your beautiful daughter. And thank you, Colonel Klinkerman, for giving us your expertise in the etiquette category. And to my in-studio behavior analysts, Rob Neal, Marie Pastamello, and Hannah Howard, it's been a pleasure having you here all today. So thanks also to Jack Inslee for being the engineer and producer of today's show. You can always find archived episodes of How to Behave on heritageradionetwork.org and podcasts downloadable on iTunes. See you next week, and remember, look both ways before you cross the street.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.